In the midst of the withdrawal of illegal Israeli settlements in the Gaza Strip and a handful in the West Bank, the future Palestinian state and its borders are today in question by political leaders throughout the world. Israel has illegally occupied the West Bank, Gaza Strip, and East Jerusalem since the Arab-Israeli War of 1967. And since that time, Palestinians have been living under military occupation. A two-state solution is widely accepted as a return to the pre-1967 borders, or what is referred to as the Green Line. However, the question of Palestinian refugees remains a central point to the entire Palestinian history and identity. The foundation of the State of Israel took place through a war which created over 750,000 Palestinian refugees, many until today remain living in refugee camps in terrible social and economic conditions throughout the occupied territories and in countries throughout the region, including Lebanon, Jordan, and Syria. Today, the majority of the Palestinian population remains refugees, one of the largest refugee groups in the world. It is commonly estimated that two-thirds of the Palestinian population are refugees. In the context of the Gaza withdrawal and political discussions on the implementation of a two-state solution, the majority of Palestinians continue to demand their right to return, which is enshrined in international law, and specifically UN Resolution 194. The right of return and its implementation challenges the concept and possible creation of a two-state solution. On this topic, I had the opportunity to speak with Mohammed Jaradat in Beirut, Lebanon. Mohammed is the coordinator of political campaigns at Badil, a Palestinian NGO based in the West Bank. This interview focuses on the issue of the Palestinian right of return in the context of the recent Gaza withdrawal.
I'm Mohammed Jaradat. I'm the coordinator of the campaign unit at the Badil Resource Center. We are aiming absolutely to work on the Palestinian refugee question, majorly their implementation of their right of return, restitution, and compensation as a basic right for them. Leading the campaign on the local and international and Arab level, trying to mobilize and introduce the question on the agenda of the Arab and international civil society and political decision makers.
Okay. The issue of the right of return, a lot of people will say, is the central piece to the Palestinian struggle. It's the heart of the Palestinian struggle. Today, there's a lot of discussion of the future of a potential Palestinian state. We saw Israel withdraw a number of illegal Jewish settlements in the Gaza Strip. In this context, can you speak about the right of return?
There is an important point to clarify. The state or non-state which will be built on the occupied territories of 67 doesn't mean anything for the question of the Palestinian refugees. The 194 resolution has been very clear for this point. People who wish to return has to be made possible for their homes and be compensated for their suffering. Their homes is not in the 67 territories. Their homes are in the boundaries of Israel. Their homes are there and not in the occupied territories. That's the point where I wish to clarify once to people and listeners that not to mix between the disengagement or future state building, if there will be one at all, and the rights of the refugees. To make it more clear, the right of the people to return to their homes is enshrined very strongly in the human rights conventions, in the humanitarian law, in the Geneva Convention, and in the international law. So that's something which is guaranteed for the people, and there is the international experience in other issues like the Bosnian refugees who have been returned by force, by forcing the regime in Bosnia after the Dayton Agreement, and the restitution in South Africa. There is the other issues in Iran, Iraq, and other countries. Palestinians should enjoy their right to return to their homes and not to be illusioned or thinking that the Gaza disengagement is going to solve their problem. Anyhow, Gaza is unable to tolerate what it has already. There is about 700,000 refugees living in Gaza who are waiting their right to return to their homes. The other point, the Palestinian authorities, which might become a state in the future, is in the status of a host country for the Palestinian refugees, even in the territories occupied in 1967. It's not a state that absorbed the refugees, you know, because based on the what we said before about 194 and the international law, they are refugees, not in their homes.
There's a common conception of a two-state solution as being a just solution internationally, amongst Western governments specifically, that to achieve peace with justice when it comes to Palestine, you have a two-state solution. And for Palestine, that would mean East Jerusalem, the West Bank, and the Gaza Strip. Can you detail for people, from your knowledge and your work, the population of the West Bank and Gaza Strip? How much percentage of that population is internal refugees?
Look, generally we are speaking about 73% of the Palestinians are refugees. Now you are speaking in the best case of 27 or 25% are non-refugees. Me, myself, is a non-refugee. When you are speaking about a solution and just solution, and here we are speaking about partial justice and not a full justice, because if we are speaking about a full justice, the Palestinians has to enjoy the full of Palestine, historic Palestine, which is including Israel. Now, speaking about partiality and democracy, that means that you have to make a deal and a negotiation with the two-thirds of the Palestinian people whom are refugees. I don't believe that the two-state solution is a Palestinian fun. You know, it's not our fun. It's the fun of the Europeans and the Americans who want to solve this question. Although that's their fun, they cannot deal with it because Israel is above the international law. That's where the whole problem is, starts and ends. If they want to have a state, they could have kicked Israel from the occupied territories of 67, and we would have dealt with the refugee question. First of all, Israel has to recognize their deed and their crime, that they have evacuated, kicked, uprooted two-thirds of the Palestinian people, suffering now for 57 years, and say, sorry, we will not do it again, in order to prevent another crime happening in the future from Israel or another state that would think about it. The second point, then we will deal with the practicalities of the question of the refugees. That's very well designed in the 194. The choice, you know, the free choice for the people, to give them the choice to return home, to stay in the host country, or to choose a third country. We are not going to create a miracle, you know, for the solution. It's there, yani. Who is looking for a solution, it's found, yani, now. Personally speaking, I don't feel that the two-state solution is a functional solution. And I would say, you know, the separators have taken their chance for 57 years now from dividing Palestine and trying to put divisions here and there and building walls or not walls, you know, to create something somehow could be functional, but it doesn't function. Let us take 10 years, those who want to unite, not to separate, to have a one democratic, secular state for all its people. This is the solution and not the two-state solution. Such solution, you have solve many problems automatically. If they want win-win case, we will win and the Israelis will win.
How?
I will call it Palestine, they will call it Israel. You know, this is simple. I don't care about what it will be called as a person. I care about people, whether they will enjoy their rights or not, you know. Whether these people will feel that they are given their rights or not. That's the most important question. I don't care if there will be 1 kilometer here more to the Palestinians or less in the 67 territories, because that's not the point, you know. Now, the second point, there is a lot of sentiments involved in this solution. Can any intelligent politician tell me how he will solve or she will solve the question of refugees who have their grandfathers or parents in a graveyard in Jaffa or Haifa? Do they need a visa to go to visit their graveyard? The other point, do a religious Jew need a visa from the so-called Palestinian state in the future to go to get into the Abraham Mosque or the Mecca Villa to worship in it? Do they think about these practicalities of the solution? The solution is not just to say we will split this piece of cake into two pieces, you eat yours and I eat mine. That's not a cake, that's a human being feelings that you have to deal with. The third point for me, I believe, not blindly, but very aware, that the future for the justice, which is Palestine and Palestinian people who have the right, you know, the strength of the Palestinian case is that it's based on a just, you know, basis.
Legally,
internationally, all morally, you know. The region is not a homogeneous region in politics. It's moving. And the Americans have escalated the laboring conflict within the Arab countries after the occupation of Iraq. Now, here the point is, any change, whether it's good or bad, in the Arab, any Arab country, is for the benefit of the Palestinians, in general I'm speaking, you know. Because none of these movements, the left and the right, the good and the bad, are not carrying the flagship of Palestinian question. Look, even in the campaign of the Egyptian presidential post, among them, even Hosni Mubarak is speaking more radical about the question of Palestine and trying to use it as a publicity for himself, you know, for his own publicity. Now, my fear is that there will be a fundamental change in the region that which comes on the expense of both people, Palestinians and Israelis, and forced by the outside, which then none of the Palestinian or Israeli rational people can do anything, you know. And here the Israelis are the losers, you know.
How?
Try to imagine in the next 6 years the Muslim Brotherhood party in Egypt will take the government. Do you think this is a luxurious for the region or for the Israel? Do they think that Hosni Mubarak and his regime will be, you know, forever? Another 5,000 years? You know, that's the thing, you know. Look what's happening in Iraq. It's not an easy thing if you take it into consideration. So, any solution in the country, I prefer that it comes by a mutual understanding where it's based on people's rights, not on politics of power force. So that's where we speak about one state for all its people, solving the question of the refugees, bringing those who want to return to their homes, absorb them, build a future of this region, because it's true, Palestine and Israel is a small country, it's 26,000 square kilometers, but it's disabling a whole region.
Yeah.
in everything you've just spoken about, a potential one-state solution, how do you see the Gaza withdrawal as relating to this, either positively or negatively?
Look, Jan, I think for me the Gaza disengagement plan is not a gesture by the Israelis or a goodwill. Israel has left Gaza under the Palestinian steadfastness and resistance. That's clear, you know. Yani, Sharon can never give the Palestinians a gesture. And who is thinking that he left by his own gesture? That's a mistake. Now, from this point, I think that this is the beginning of the cracks in the ideology of Zionism and Israel, the total or greater Israel ideology. This is the first retreat, in fact, since 100 years by the Zionist forces from an occupied land after the South Lebanon, which somehow different, you know, because Gaza is considered part of Israel Hashleima or the greater Israel, you know. That's a retreat of the ideology. Now here, for me, I won't say that it came by surprise because the Israelis has been losing there. For 4,000 settlers, they have had 30,000 soldiers to protect them, and they needed a lot of their per capita to spend in Gaza without getting anything. Now, the talk about the West Bank, of course, they are going to try to lift up their morals and dignity in trying to build up and colonize in West Bank. Now, this is for me a kind of a defeat mentality, trying to make cosmetics on the face to show their people that we are doing something. We retreated from there to strengthen here. Here, the point for me is, if they retreat also from West Bank, and I don't think that they will, you know, because West Bank is a different question, which includes Jerusalem. And often the media reports about 200,000 settlers in the occupied territories of West Bank, let's see. That's not true. There are 465,000 settlers in the West Bank, including Jerusalem. This is not 4,000, and Israel has made the theater, you know, the crying theater or the dramatic theater over 3 months on 4,000. Who's going to come and evict these settlers from Jerusalem who are about 220,000, 30,000? These are people living there. How we will speak to the world that we want to evict these people, although they are illegally living in our country, you know?
What to do?
What to do? I don't think there is Israeli leader or government in the next 100 years dare to do this, you know? There is only two solutions. One is to go for the one-state solution, and the Palestinians have the right to buy and live in Tel Aviv, and the refugee has the right to return to his or her home and to live in peace and friendship, good neighboring. Or the escalation will lead to vicious blood circle, you know, and much more chronic than what we have witnessed, because then you are sitting on my nose. I can't even breathe, you know. And there is no a middle solution in the way.
The refugees, you spoke about two-thirds of the Palestinian population being refugees. Many of those refugees live on the outside of historic Palestine or even the occupied territories. So when we're talking about the issue of, let's say, the Palestinian struggle internationally in the media, it's often focused and defined as Palestinians in the West Bank, East Jerusalem, Gaza Strip. You're here in Lebanon. You were visiting the refugee camps here. How essential do you think it is for people to view the Palestinian struggle as broader than the occupied territories, to include and to understand the realities of the camps, for instance?
You know, generally, we have succeeded to unite our people. We have fought for 50 years to have our one leadership. That means the PLO. Now, for us, there is no separation between the West Bank or Gaza or the Palestinians in 48 or the Palestinians in Lebanon or in Montreal or anywhere, you know. These are Palestinians. They suffer from the same problems, you know. Now, if I got your question, Palestinians are not only in West Bank, you know. And Palestinians are not struggling only in West Bank, you know. Struggle is not just a direct confrontation with the occupier. Okay. The struggle for the justice and rights of the people is in too many arenas. Mm-hmm. The political struggle, the awareness raising struggle, the media, the education, services among the Palestinian refugees, the mere fact to establish their morale and optimism is a great deal, you know. And for me, the defeat is to internalize the, the defeat. As long we are not internalizing but initiating a program for struggle and resistance, we will always won. And this is where Palestinians inside have an influence, as well as Palestinians in Lebanon have an influence, you know. To speak about this issue, you know, in Lebanon, I really do not see a reason why the Lebanese government should keep the people in such a miserable situation. That doesn't mean, when you speak about rights for the Palestinians, that it will give them the opportunity to settle or stay in a country where they are staying, you know. The official position of the Lebanese government is very encouraged and very good, and we support it, that they are fully for the right of return of the Palestinian refugees and their full rights. But unfortunately, this political statement and this firm position on the rights have no implementation on the ground, you know. To give the Palestinians the right to work and to move and to renovate their home is a simple thing, has nothing to do with settlement, you know. It has to do with giving the people the opportunity to live in dignity and appreciation for human being creation.
Survival,
yeah. Now, I do not believe that a weak person or family living in a graveyard underground can steadfast wait for their return, you know. But I do believe if they have a good ventilation in their home, they have a good house which is not dripping in winter and a stove in summer, they would be much better resistant and much better active in their cause to escalate the time to return to their homes, you know. That's where we ask the Lebanese, you know, government community to be active and take active role, proactive role, to lift this measures on the Palestinian people here and try to understand that civil rights, we are not speaking about political rights, vote and candidate, you know, we are speaking about mere civil rights and liberties.
You've been listening to an interview with Mohammed Jaradat, the coordinator of political campaigns at Badil, a Palestinian NGO based in the West Bank. The interview focused on the issue of the Palestinian right of return in the context of the recent Israeli withdrawal from the Gaza Strip. The future Palestinian state and its borders are today in question by political leaders throughout the world. Israel has illegally occupied the West Bank, Gaza Strip, and East Jerusalem since the Arab-Israeli War of 1967. And since that time, Palestinians have been living under military occupation. A two-state solution is widely accepted as a return to the pre-1967 borders, or what is referred to as the Green Line. However, the question of Palestinian refugees remains a central point to the entire Palestinian history and identity. The foundation of the State of Israel took place through a war, which created over 750,000 Palestinians. Many, until today, remain living in refugee camps, in terrible social and economic conditions, throughout the occupied territories and in countries throughout the region, including Lebanon, Jordan, and Syria. Today, the majority of the Palestinian population remains refugees, one of the largest refugee groups in the world. It is commonly estimated that two-thirds of the Palestinian population are refugees. For more information on Badil, visit their website at www.badil.org. That's www.badil.org. For more information and analysis on the Gaza withdrawal and on Palestinian politics, visit the Electronic Intifada online at www.electronicintifada.net. That's www.electronicintifada.net. This interview was recorded and produced in Beirut, Lebanon, for CKUT Radio in Montreal by Stefan Christoph. Thank you.